Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to God's Resurrection Power Church of Christ Ministry. My name is Apostle David Cannon. I'm your host, and Holy Spirit is our overseer. We are a Bible-believing ministry that's teaching and preaching, reaching the lost soul of the sin-sick world for the kingdom of heaven in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. We are excited and we are delighted, for truly this is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing and we are glad. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is a good time, a good moment, a good to submit and commit your life to Him, give your heart to Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a good time. Tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the Bible also said that God sent not His Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So Jesus came into this world to save the world. This, the world is you and me, us, the people. Not the outside ground and stuff. The people are the world. He come to save the people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So He wants you to totally submit and commit to Him. Give your life completely to Him. And He will do for you what no one else can do. He will save you. He will deliver you. Peter says, let every one of you repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Every one of us need to repent. This is what Peter says. We need to repent for our sins and ask God to come on in and save us, redeem us, set us free. So if you're out there in computer land and you're hearing me this morning, because we're starting this morning with a prayer of salvation before we go into worship, and then we're going to go into worship, then we're going to come back and talk about sin. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on Him shall not be ashamed. That's Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, we're going to be talking about sin this morning, because we are in a world that is filled with sin. Sin has been activated by the government officers, the leaders of the world. You know, here in America and Canada and the Caribbean and Africa and India and China, all over Europe, sin has been activated. Sin is now getting more recognition than truth. Do you hear me? When you begin to preach truth and teach truth and live truth, people come down on you and ridicule you, but you can act sinful and they will praise you, they will exalt you, they will magnify you as you do sin. You got young women sleeping with each other, young men sleeping with each other. All this stuff is going on. This is sinful because they don't realize that hell is real and heaven is real. But I come this morning to tell you that you have to repent. And if you repent this morning, you want to receive Jesus, just say this simple prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And this morning, I repent of all of my past deeds and my present deeds. I ask you, Father God, to forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Make me whole. I believe in the finished work of the cross. I believe that you were crucified. And I believe that you died on that cross and that you were buried in a borrowed tomb. I believe that the Father God raised you up on the third day as it stated in the Bible. And now today, I am denouncing Satan and all of his agents and even this world system. Jesus, I ask you to burn on the inside of me like a fire. Burn up everything in me that is not like you and draw me closer to you. Lord Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. My friends, if you said that prayer, you believe what you come out of your mouth, because you got to believe. You're not saying it just because I asked you to say it. You're saying it because you want to be saved, and you believe that Jesus is the only one that can save you, and that's what the Bible says. He's the only one. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Acts 4:12. Only Jesus can save you. The preacher can tell you, can pray with you, but Jesus does the saving. He does the healing. He does the restoring. He does the drawing. So we're praying this morning that as you receive the gift of salvation, that you would get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so you get a better understanding of our Savior, our Lord, our soon coming King that we talk about every chance that we get. We talk about him on Blog Talk Radio. We never preach a sermon without including Jesus, because he is the sermon. We want you to call up a pastor, preacher, teach someone, and tell them that you received the gift of salvation. You're studying the Bible as instructed, but you need to be baptized because the Bible says so. The Bible says that baptism is part of your salvation. It is the completion of your salvation. In Mark chapter 16, this is what Jesus says, and I want to read it verbatim as it is in the Bible, word for word. And this is what he says. And he said unto them, this is Jesus, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we just did. But he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it should not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, you believe, and you be baptized in Jesus' name. The gifts are given to you, starting with Acts 2:38. He give you the Holy Ghost to strengthen you, to keep you, to enlighten you, to teach you. Hallelujah. So we thank God for you all that received the gift of salvation. Now you're going to be going down in what we call the liquid pool. You're going to be submerged in the water. Your head, your chest, your feet, everything is going down in the water. You're not going to get the water pouring your head like they do in the Catholic Church. You are going to be baptized. Baptized means that you're going to be submerged in the water. You're going to be submerged, and then you're going to emerge. You're going to come up out the water. Jesus is going in the water with you because he's with you. He said, I never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you even unto the end of age. So he's going down that liquid grave with you, keeping your company while you're being baptized in his name. And then when you come back about a day with all power and authority given to you, filled with the Holy Ghost, as the Bible says, you might run, you might jump, you might skip, but after you calm down, ask the Lord to lead you to a church or a body of believers where the preacher, the pastor, the leader is teaching sound doctrine, because sound doctrine makes sound people. And you want to get yourself involved in that ministry. Become part of that body of believers. And don't just be a spectator. Remember, I said become part of the body. Part of the body, you'll find yourself doing things, doing what is instructed to. Start maybe cleaning the sanctuary, cleaning the bathroom, picking up the trash around the building. That's all the stuff I did when I first came into ministry here in the United States. I was doing stuff that, you know, that most people don't want to do. Cleaning. Because I wasn't a preacher. Or so I saw it. I wasn't a preacher. I didn't know any scriptures. Hallelujah. The first scripture I learned was Faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10 and 17. Then I learned Proverbs 11 and 1 that a false balance is abomination to God, but a just way is his delight. And I started learning scriptures, started putting scriptures in my heart, you know, because I wanted to be able to regurgitate the word out of my heart, you know, bring it about my belly. You said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. But it's not going to flow if it's not in there. You got to put it in. You're not going to lay it down and say, Lord, put the scriptures inside of me. No, you have to open the book and you have to study the book. You're not going to put it inside there for you. You have to study the book. You have to spend time with him in the book. So we thank God for all those that received the gift of salvation today and those that will receive it at a later date. You know, usually I do the prayer of salvation at the end of the service, but today this is the Lord leading me to do it this way. So we are going to go into worship, and we're going to worship the Lord right now until we come back, and then we're going to bring a message to you. God bless you.
Because we say Thank you.
Thank you, Father, for this morning. Thank you for, oh Lord, allowing us to come into this place, into your, in your presence, oh God. Lord, we recognize that in your presence is the fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, we don't take your presence lightly, because we know you didn't have to bring us in. You could have let us sleep on through. Many were here on yesterday, on last night, but they slept on through into another dimension. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for granting us one more day. And thank you for placing food on the table for those that were hungry in Africa and didn't have any food. But Father, we thank you now, and even the more that they have food now, because you made a way. You are a way maker. Now we ask you to bless this word this morning, O God, as we speak about sin. You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about sin in the house of the Lord. You know, they talk about prosperity and they talk about everything else except sin. You know, people believe that they can just keep on sinning and living a double standard and they're still going to heaven. You have some preachers, some pastors, some leaders, and they're living a double standard. Nobody knows but God and themselves. Always believe that, always tell myself that you can hide from the people, but you can't hide from God, and you can't hide from yourself. You know, I was saying that for a while, and then I heard Kanye West was talking on the news one night. He says, you know, you can hide from the people, but you can't hide from yourself. You can't hide from God. And I said, Lord, you thank you. You have put that word in my spirit. And here now come Kanye West is seen the same way. Father, we ask you to bless the four corners of the earth this morning. Bless the north, the south, the east, and the west. And Father, as we release this word this morning, we ask you to allow it to go forth with power and with authority, as you direct my lips to speak clearly what you have given to me on yesterday. We want to go into the book of 1 John chapter 3. We want to go there and see what the Lord is saying pertaining to sin. Turn the pages of this book, because I know there's more to sin than we see. There's a lot more in the book, but we don't talk about it. God has stressed this word so heavily that we pay attention to it and don't play with it. Sin, you know, it's just a little three-letter word, but it's so powerful. Death, that little three-letter word can take you to hell. And you know, when the devil leads you into sin, he don't care. Matter of fact, he's smiling while we are doing the things that we ought not be doing. And usually when we do the things that we ought not be doing, we feel good for a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes, if that long. And then after, the frustration come upon us. We can hear in our spirit, why did I sin? In 1 John chapter 3, let us pull this up. Glory to God. For some reason, these computers, I know anytime you get a a word from the Lord that the Lord wants his church, his bride to hear. The computers will act different. They will act simple because, you know, the enemy, he's the controller of the atmosphere. He is the God of this world. So he will mess with the computer. He will mess with the atmosphere. And you're wondering why things are acting up. No, it's Satan. He controls the atmosphere. Here in this book here, I want to get into here. 1 John chapter 3. And let's start at verse 1, the whole scripture. You know, I was at Apostle Stewart Church sometime back, a couple of times. I was there in Louisiana. I went over there and visited with him. I was watching him and listening to him teach. And he teach the whole scripture. You know, if you take a chapter, he teach the whole chapter. And I said, wow, he does the same thing that I do. You know, and it was blessing me to see that this man was just releasing this thing out of his spirit. Pastor Joyce, she was reading. And as he was hearing from the Lord, he was doing the narration, explanation of the scriptures. And it was powerful, just so powerful. But here in this book of John, he talks about sin. And he says, see how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belongs to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. See, people see you and hear you declaring that Jesus is Lord. They don't understand. They want to know why you are so excited about this person, Jesus. But they don't know him. They're not trying to know him. But you know him because he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And now you begin to see things and hear things in the spiritual realm. Things that the normal people don't hear. That's why you can say, the Lord say this to me. And they say, how can you hear the Lord? They're wondering how you hearing the Lord. Well, he says that I am a spirit. And they that worship me must worship me in spirit and truth. So what the Lord speaks to his children, he speaks to the spirit. And he speaks through the word that you are reading, you're studying. So whatever God is saying to you lines up with the word. It lines up with the word. He doesn't add anything else. He doesn't take anything else from. It just lines up with the word. So he said the world would not recognize that you are God's children because they don't know him. He said, dear friends, I'm reading out the New Living Translation. I have two Bibles set up here, the New Living Translation and the Amplified. He says, dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. This is a great hope here. This is a great hope here in the Bible. Just if nothing else that I got to hope for is that when I see Jesus, I'll be just like him. Greatest hope. Hallelujah. One of the hopes that I live with in my mind, spiritual mind, is that I will have a heavenly body. I am looking forward to the heavenly body. This old body will go back to the dirt where it came from, to the clay dirt, but I will get a heavenly body. And you know, say, how can you say that, Pastor? The only way you can say that is if you make a decision to live the way God created us to live. Live holy. Then you can testify, and said that you can proclaim that you're going to have a heavenly body. You're going to see Jesus. But if you're not living, I'm telling you, living created you to live. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve was living this life before they sinned. Disobedience is sin. Hallelujah. And in the moment that they disobeyed God, they didn't experience this life anymore. The Bible said that Adam walked and talked with God. Or God walked and talked with Adam. However you want to say it. In the cool of the day. But after the sin, there was no more conversation. He was hiding from God. Because sin make you realize it convicts you that what sin does. It exposes who you really are then. Now you know that, how did I do this? You don't know that. Imagine when you know that you're married to a beautiful, a handsome husband or a beautiful wife, and then you go out and cheat on them. When you come home, when you get home, they don't know that you cheat on them. You probably clean yourself up. You took a shower, a bath, or whatever. Wash yourself up at wherever you were. And you come home smelling fresh. There's no smell of the sexual encounter on you. Your husband don't know. Your wife don't know. But you know, and God know. And somehow there's a guilt that takes over your body, takes over your soul. That even if your husband or wife trying to touch you, you don't want to touch them. You say, I'm tired. I'm this going on, you know, because this guilt, sin, makes you feel guilty. And this is what John was talking about here. He says, we're talking about don't let sin destroy your soul. That's the topic today. The Lord gave it to me yesterday. Don't let sin destroy your soul. Hallelujah. Look at all of these preachers that you're seeing on YouTube. I see, I don't know if you all saw it. I saw the other night that Serena Jakes, now she wants a divorce from her husband. And she wants an equal part. That's what, I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what they got on the internet. She's on the computer, and Jakes is there. Both of them on. And she says she, you know, because she can't stand all the stuff that's going on right now about her husband and the homosexual ology, sexualism that's going on, homosexual stuff that's happening, all the talks and debates about it. She says she wants equal parts of all the property. They own a lot of properties, condominiums and single-family homes. They own a lot of property. They use the church money to buy all them properties. And she says she wants equal part. See, sin gonna come back and it's going to bite you. It's like a big Rottweiler. It's like a pit bull. You can play with it as much as you like. But eventually, if you make the wrong move, he will bite you. He will bite you. Hallelujah. So he says here, John begins content to speak to us. He says, all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. In other words, they will live according to God's plan. If you have an expectation that you want to see God or that you're going to see God, you're going to have to make some choices. We're going to have to make some choices. I was in a church, a mega church here in Boston. The first lady would always say, I'm going to heaven. I don't care what nobody says. But when you look at her and you see how she treats people that are not her favorite little pets, you know, because they have pets in the church. You call them cliques. They have little pets. Some people that they love better than some. And that ought not be so. How am I going to love you better than I love Peter better than John? They are my brothers and sisters. But what happened is that we have favorites in the house of the Lord. He don't have no favorites. He treated them all the same. All the same. Even Judas that betrayed him. He treated him just like he treated Peter. Let Judas kiss him. No, he was going to betray him. He treated them all with love and compassion. But we different. We have to, if we want to see him, and we want to be clothed in this new clothing that he has, be like him, we're going to have to live a life that glorify him. A life that's honest, a life that is pure, a life that's obedient, a life that's trustworthy before the Lord, not before men and women. We're trying to dress up to please the world, but what about God? He said, everyone who sins is breaking God's law. Sins, S-I-N-S. Everyone, that means continuous. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to God's, to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. He took away our sins, but there's no sin in him. And this is the way that God wants us to be. Yes, we got the sin nature. You know, people say, well, yeah, I'm not sin, but you got the sin nature. This is why it's so easy. This is why it's so easy. If we don't continue to listen to God, how do you listen to God? Through the word, in prayer, in fasting. God order our steps. He direct our path. And how we do, we go into the word of God. Some people get into relationship without even contacting God, even asking God. You go to the grocery store, people shooting up the grocery store. You go to the gas station, shooting up at the gas station. You didn't even ask God because you know your car's low on gas. You're going to just drive on to, you know your cupboard, your fridge getting low on food. You're just going to rest. Ask God. Put God in everything that we do. I don't go to the mall. If I ever go to the mall, I ask God first. If I go to, sometimes I say, well, my car, my gas usually lasts me about 2.5 weeks or so in my car, unless I got some jobs. But mostly going to the church building and coming back home, don't burn a lot of gas. So when my car gets down to about a quarter tank, I know I have to put in some gas. I don't let it go to empty. A quarter tank. And I ask the Lord, should I go to the gas station there? I know the prices are coming back up. You know, if you see something at 313 or 314, somewhere around there, you want to go fill up. I said, Lord, should I go to the gas station today? I ask him because I include him in everything that I do. Why? Because he includes me. They tell me, you know, there was fighting at the gas station, fighting at the store. God didn't let me go. Here, John is giving us sound instructions. Hallelujah. Jesus came to take away sin. Anyone who continues to live in him, will not sin. If Jesus is in your life, if the Spirit of God dwells inside of you, you will not sin. That don't mean that thoughts of sin is not going to come. I always say to people, look, because you're saved and sanctified, that don't mean Satan isn't going to talk to you. The Bible said when the sons of God came in before God, Satan was present. And God asked him where he come from. He said, from going to and fro on the earth. Satan's going to come into the house. He's going to come into God's house to whoever he can try to put a thought in your mind. And a lot of times he goes straight to the head. He don't go to the bottom. He goes straight to the head. He goes to the pastor, the bishop, to the apostle, to the prophetess, the evangelist, the teacher. You understand what I'm saying? He goes to those that in leadership who has the authority to feed the people of God. This is why I love Apostle Stewart. You know, he told me, he said, Apostle, now I counsel women, and I counsel sometimes men, and counsel sometimes husband and wives. He said, but if I ever got to counsel a woman without her husband, he said, if Joyce is not there, he said, usually Pastor Joyce is there. God don't counsel a woman one-on-one like that. He said, but if Pastor Joyce is not there, and the woman come, I keep the church office door wide open while I'm talking to that woman. Because a woman can leave the church even though he haven't said anything or did anything and claim that he touched her. Because that's the devil. Here, John continues to speak to us and he says, anyone who continues to live in him, in Christ Jesus, will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. If you find yourself keep slipping and dipping, you really don't know him. You don't have a relationship with him. A lot of people in the house of the Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit. A lot lot of people in the house of the Lord today, you may not want to say it, but a lot of people in the house of the Lord today don't really know him. They know of him. They don't have a relationship with him. Because see, when you have a true have a relationship with him, it's just like having a true relationship with your wife. You're not going out on her. True relationship with your husband, you're not going out on him. I got several people coming here a couple days a month for counseling, husbands and wives. And I have to keep dropping nuggets in them. I said, you know, we didn't get to my 47 years plus almost 48 years without going through some stuff. But we trust the Lord to lead us and guide us and bring us through the storms. You know, as soon as something happens, you want to pull up your anchor and leave your husband. You want to leave your wife as soon as something happens. But we don't see the part, even though part in whatever's going on. You may not see how small it is. You don't spend time talking to your wife. You don't spend time talking to your husband. No communication at all. Hallelujah. You want what you want when you want it. You have to wait for a special occasion to bless her with some flowers, to take her out to dinner, to go and have a movie night with your wife, with your husband. No. You wonder why things are falling apart. There's no camaraderie inside the relationship. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil. Remember what he said in John chapter 8 and 44. Satan is the father of lies. He was a murderer from the beginning. I'm not looking at it. And the only thing he has for us as Christians is deception. We talked about that yesterday. Only thing he has for us is deception. Anything that he shows us is not good. He cannot show you anything good because there's no goodness in him. There's no goodness in him. He has no peace, so he don't want us to have peace. So what he does is he brings deception, and he clothes it in a tuxedo. Dress it up. Make it look good. You say, oh, yeah, it's good. I can do this. But you don't know that thing that looks semi-good to you, that is full of deception, is what Satan is using to take us to hell. Because it's abomination to the soul. Sin is. He said the soul that sinneth shall die. This is what he says. All souls are mine. All. This is what the Father says. But the soul that sinneth shall die. If you are disobedient to God's word, you will die. You will die a physical death and you will die a spiritual death. The second death is spiritual. The first death is fleshly. But the second death, according to Revelation chapter 20, is spiritual. He says here, glory to God. But when people keep on sinning, it shows that they belong to the devil, who has been sinning since the beginning. But the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. In other words, they are not habitual sinners. If you belong to God, you're not going to just say, I'm just going to go there and I'm going to get hooked up. I'm going to get hooked up. You forget? You say, well, God can't see. God is going to know. You know, in the book of Ezekiel, that's what the people say, the church folks say that. They're in the synagogue, but you would call them the church folks. And we say that a lot of times. People say that. God is not looking at me. God is not paying me no attention. He got a lot of things to contend with. So I can go on and do what I want to do. Listen what he says. He says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning. That means continuous sinning. Because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. In other words, as I look at this verse here in chapter 1 John chapter 3 and verse 9, it tells me that we can fall from time to time. We can slip, but we're not going to stay on the ground. We get back up. The Bible says that a just man falls 7 times. He said he falls 7 times, but guess what? Stay on the ground. You may have slept and had a drink or smoke a little something or had a little sex. I'm not giving you a license to sin, to commit fornication or adultery or nothing. But if for some reason that you had a drink, last night I had some wine, I call it medicine. It's been fermented for a long time. It has onions in it. It has garlic in it. And it has some other things inside of it. And it's good for the body. It's like medicine. Well, I had me a little small glass of that last night. You know, some of the garlic and the onions and stuff came up. Some red onions. And nice and soft now because they've been fermenting for a long time. But I slept like a baby last night. You know, the medicine did good for the soul. He said, look. Verse 10. So now we can tell you who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. It is not just living holy or living righteous, as you want to say, as the Bible says. It's also that we got to love one another. We get so messed up with each other, and we give up on each other so easily. I have people that I love them to life that was part of Blog Talk Radio for a long time, for years. And then all of a sudden, because somebody said something wrong and they wanted me to rebuke the person on their behalf, I wouldn't do it because God didn't leave me to do that. They decide they weren't going to come back on the line anymore. So what? I'm still going on. We are still doing what God called us to do. Hallelujah. Now he said, love one another is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. We must not be like Cain, who belongs to the devil, let's read that again. We must not be like Cain, who belongs to the evil one, and kill his brother. And why did he kill him? Because Cain had been doing what was evil, and his brother had been doing what was righteous. You see, we got to be careful. We got to watch ourselves. Take inventory of the thing that we're doing. Is it glorifying God? Is my lifestyle? Remember, I always said that my ministry is my lifestyle. Not what I say, but what I do. And then you say, honey, baby, I love you so much, but you talk to her like a dog. You mistreat her like she's a parrot. You don't really love her. You say, God, I love you. Oh, God, I love you. I want more of you. I was listening to a song this morning, Happy Weeping, a song with William McDonald's, Stay. And he says, I want more of you. He sings the song. He said, Lord, I want more of you. He says, my heart is aching. My heart is burning for more of you. And he cried out how much he want more. But we want more of God. And we cry this out. We make this cry, how much of God that we want. We want more. We are empty on the inside and we want to be filled with God. But then when we are filled with God, then we don't share anything. Just now, we just put food on the table for families in Africa. Blog Talk family just did that. And I felt good. Because first I did a prayer to God. I asked God, God, I said, God, you know, I don't have a lot of funds, you know. I'm being able to work. I did a little job the other day, you know, and I said, Lord, but should I send funds to these people that don't have no food? How can you eat and rejoice and you know that your brother or sister is hungry? But we find excuses not to help our brothers and sisters. We find it. We find excuses not to give, reasons not to give. And we're waiting to become millionaires to give. You're not going to be no millionaire. If you can't give when you have a little bit, he's not going to make you a millionaire. He's not going to make you a ruler over much. We give. We give all the time. Both of us are retired. You know, we have a little social security check that comes in once a month. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late. But we make decisions, people that's in need. And God makes sure that there's always food in our cupboard. He always makes sure that we can go into the cabinet and there's food there. Look in the icebox and the icebox is packed. Make sure that God does that. He makes sure there's gas in our car. Because he says if you love him and if you walk upright before him, no good thing will he withhold from you. See, we forget that we got to fall in love with God. And after you fall in love with God, it requires something that you got to walk upright before him. God requires that. Not just saying, I love God. How many preachers say they love God? You hear them all the time. Oh, I love God, I love God. I love God more than anything in the world. But you look at their lifestyle. They're looking at people that are hungry and starving. And they will never donate anything to help them. They're passing by on the street. And don't even give them a $5 bill, a $10 bill. They got it in their pocket. But they have a plan for the $5 bill for themselves, $10 bill for themselves. They don't see if they give the $10 bill that God will give them tens of more dollars. I'm looking for big money come soon. Listen what he says, man. I got to get this over with. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we did pray salvation this morning early because that's the way the Lord wanted to go this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we pray. He says, oh, bless the name of the Lord. He says, so don't be surprised, dear brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. See, if you live this life that God is saying here, the apostle is speaking here in this book of 1 John chapter 3. If we live according to these instructions here, the world going to hate you. Because these instructions here make us different. It makes us different in the eyes of the world, this instruction right here. It separates us from the world. There's much work inside this book. I had to pull up my concordance to look because the concordance in the Bible, in that back King James Bible, don't even mention sin. And I said, Lord, they got everything pertaining to S inside that Bible, King James Bible. They don't have sin in the concordance. I said, why? Well, I got a big, giant concordance here that have everything. And I'm going to look up some more stuff because I want to hit some more of that tomorrow. He says, look, verse 14 says, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. Man, I tell you something. Brothers, when I read that last night, when I was studying this, going over this on my computer, and I've seen that verse before, but it never really caught my eye the way it caught my eye last night. And I said to myself, Lord, you mean I'm dead? I'm saying to the Lord, you mean I'm dead? I'm alive in the flesh, but I'm spiritually dead. If this is what's happening inside of me. He said, let me read it to you again. Verse 14. He said, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But if a person who has no love is, he said, but a person who has no love is still dead. a person who have no love. How are you going to know they have no love? You can see that they don't have compassion for the needy. They don't care for the widows. It's not just for those in the household of faith, but for those who don't know Christ. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He didn't come just for those that was in the temple, those that were part of the synagogue. He came to save those who were lost. So we can't just reach out the hand of love, of compassion, and mercy just only to those that in the household of faith that belongs to the body of Christ. What good is that? Even the world does that stuff. He says, anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. Oh, my God, that is so, that's so on point. He says, and you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. That's another powerful verse there. Murderers don't have eternal life within them. That's verse 15. Verse 16 says, we know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. Jesus gave up his life for us. Hallelujah. Shown us what real love is all about. He gave his life so that we would have life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He gave his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Oh, Jesus, that's another powerful verse there. Hallelujah. He says, dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. You see, love is truth. And so many people say they love God. But when you look at them, you say they can't really love God and respond and act into their brothers and sisters like that. There's no truth in them. He says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth. So we will be confident when we stand before God. Even if we feel guilty, God is greater than our feelings, and he knows everything. He said, dear brothers, if we do feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask because we obey him and do the things that please him. See, if we don't do the things, number one, if we don't obey God, if we are not obedient to him, we can't go to him and ask him for anything. You know, I remember it was earlier last year, or a year before, my son I was laying on the bed, and my son, he always gets us at some odd times. And he said that he had seen this truck that he loved. It was a 4x4 Chevy Avalanche. Looked real nice. 2007 or 2009, somewhere around it. But I thought it had one little rust spot on it. It was nice inside and out. Had a couple of little problems with the engine and transmission. So we bought a transmission kit for him. And he got another engine. Everything went fine. My son called, and he needed this and needed that. Well, he's a good boy. Well, he's a man, but he's a good man. And he was able to sell the truck because he bought another car, sports car. Now he got a good job. And we prayed for him to bring him out of that mess he was in. He on Blog Talk Radio, the people went to war all in Africa and India, were praying for him, praying for my son. and pray him out of the mess that he was in. And now he got a good job doing installation of, you know, putting in filtrator systems in these multi-rich families' homes. You know, they have the big cinema inside the basements, you know, with the nice chairs and all that stuff, and big screens, you know, like 150-inch screen, you know. Big, giant screens. He does that stuff. And he sold a truck. And he sold it for about four times or five times as much as what he paid for. And I ain't never asked him for that. Because I know he got his family to take care of. But he's doing well. And it's sure, if he wasn't a good son, I wouldn't have given him my money. I would have told him straight up. Like my daughter called me from Florida. Yeah, there's Georgia. She says, they didn't have this or had that. She lived with her son. Her son's the manager, my grandson, for Home Depot in Georgia. Well, he took on a big bite as my grandson, you know, he rented this house, single family home for his children and his wife. He took his mother in, you know, and so she still had to pay her part for utilities and stuff. And they're going through some stuff. You know, but you know, people think that apostles have it. And she called me, sent me a text message. I'm going to call you when I get home, Daddy. And then she tell me, well, run the whole thing to me of this, what they need. And so I want to do things with open, honey. I asked. And I said, so what should we do? Should we send them what they need? Now, they forget that I just had a bill of $190,000, but thank God that we had insurance. You know, thank God we had insurance. We still got a big piece that we got to pay. I don't have that money yet, so I had to make a plan to pay a little bit every month. You know, because people would think that you got money. Because, yes, you drive a nice car, you live in a nice house, they think you got money, even though you retire. But we trust God to supply our needs. And this is, I'm coming down here with this. We're not going too long today because, my Lord Jesus, I just want to thank God for this word. Here it is. He says here, Jesus, verses, and we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey him and do the things that please him. If we obey the Lord Jesus Christ, if we obey the Father God and do the things that please him, we can ask him. You may not get it right away, but it's coming because God don't move on your time or my time. He moves on his time, and he's never late. I got to say he's the on-time God. He's never late. Hallelujah. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. This is what God wants. You understand? We must believe the commandments, and we must love his son, Jesus, and love one another. We can't just love Jesus. Oh, I'm in love. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. You know, we sing that, but we forget. He wants us to love one another. We get in the church and some of these folks that have the melodious voice, you know, they can sing better than I can sing. They sing that will make you want to cry, but they don't want to love on their brothers and sisters. And this is what God is calling for. He's calling for us to love unconditionally one another. Just love on each other. This is what he's calling for. Hallelujah. We're afraid to love people because we're afraid if we love them, then they're going to need something from us. And we don't want to help them. You know? We don't want to help them. When I pray for blessings, and I don't use it too much, but when I pray for blessings, I say, Lord, bless me so I can be a blessing. Not so I can push my chest up and say, well, I have this, I have that. I said, Lord, bless me so I could be a blessing. Hear what he says. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with him and he with them. And we know he lives in us because the spirit he gives us lives in us. Very important. We know that he lives in us. And we remain in him. He says in 1 John chapter 4, this is what he says. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. This is what he says in the New Living Translation. You got to know who you are and whose you are. He said, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. This is the word of God. This is the word of God. Father, we just thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. We honor you, God, for all that you have done, all that you have said, and all that you will do. We ask you, God, now to bless the four corners of the earth right now. Bless the world. Lord, so much is going on that we have no control over, but we know that you sit high and you see low. We ask you, Father God, to bless those that are in need this morning. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is what the Bible says. God shows how much he loves us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loves us, that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God. But if we love each other, God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them. And they live in God. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in his love. God is love. And all who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. Listen to the word of God. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid of the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels or casts out all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but he's a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. This is the word of God. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. There is no if or buts about it. We can't get around it. You can't go over it. You can't go around it. And you can't go under it. If you find yourself not loving your brothers and sisters, and even those that are unsaved, they're your brothers and sisters. Because God said there are many others that will come to him through their word that have not yet come. So you have to love them. People are going to hear you preaching and teaching, and they're going to come to know Jesus because of the word that you spoke. Just the word that you spoke. They're going to come to know him because the love that you release out of your heart. It flows from your heart to your mouth. And people are going to come to know Jesus because you speak that love. You speak that compassion, that mercy. This morning, we have released the word of God in your hearing. Don't let sin destroy your soul. That is the word. Don't let sin destroy your soul. Sin is a thief. It's a liar. It has many, many names. It wants to destroy you. It wants to destroy me because of who we are and whose we are. That's what sin wants. Sin is girded up with strength to deceive us. This is why we need the word of God. We need the word of God to strengthen us, to empower us, so that we will be able to stand in troubled times. You know, once you get the word in your heart, you'll be able to stand. Till Sunday morning, you can't wait till Wednesday night, Friday night or Saturday night. You have to get this word in you every single day so that you can be victorious. This is what the word does. It empowers you. It empowers me. It gets us ready for whatever is coming. It prepares us, the word of God. And Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. We talked about sin, Lord, that you instructed us to talk about. Because, Lord, you said to me that people are not talking about sin. And sin is running rampant in the earth right now. Because the people that are leading, they are making sin seem to be comfortable. You know, say it's okay. It's okay if you live in a sinful lifestyle. It's okay. It's no problem. This is what the world is saying. You know, you say, well, I'm a preacher. If you do say that, because sometimes you might tell somebody, well, I'm a minister in the church, or I'm a deacon, I'm an elder, whatever your gift is or title is. And the moment you say that, you can see that their countenance change. Their face got a different look on it because you say that you are a minister of the gospel. You're speaking to somebody that's not saved. Understand? They're going to have this look on their face. But if you say, man, you know, I go to the club every Friday night, Saturday night. Man, I'm at the club. And I'm at the club shaking it and having a good time. You know, they're going, oh, yeah, which club you go to? They want to get inquisitive. But the moment you say that you're saved and you're sanctified, most people ain't going to ask you where your church is. Not most of them go. Somebody may ask you that if they're saved already, if they know the Lord. But most folk that are not saved ain't going to ask you where your church is. They're not concerned with that stuff. That stuff don't move them. You see? So you have to be ready. You have to be prepared and willing to stand up for the truth in the midst of a dying world. This book here of this concordance, I couldn't find one scripture in the concordance of my King James Version Bible. But in my concordance, in my large concordance, they got hundreds of scriptures pertaining starting at the book of Genesis, all the way back to Revelation. Sin has been exposed, elaborated about, but most of the preachers today don't want to ever talk about sin. Sin has become a dirty word. We're not going to talk about that in the church. I heard one preacher said, we don't have to talk about sin. You know the preacher, he's a smooth talker. He's from Texas. He says, we don't have to talk about sin. People know that they're sinning. They know that their lifestyle. No, we just got to talk to them about prosperity. Talk about them, tell them about love. You know, this love. Love on each other. Love this body. Love that. But we don't want to tell them about the sin that they're involving in right now. The sin that's going to take them to hell. You know. Because sin is a distractor. It's a deceiver. It's a destroyer. Hallelujah. This is what sin does. You know, it destroys your heart. It take away your peace. It take away your joy. If you live in a sinful lifestyle, you don't have no joy. You know, I remember when I was getting high and I was smoking all type of stuff that changed my mood. When I was drinking all type of stuff that changed my mood. Oh, yeah, I was laughing. I was talking. I was dancing. It seemed like I was having a good time. But as soon as I come down, as soon as that alcohol or drug we are, I realized I didn't have no peace. I had a false peace, a false joy when I was getting high. What they call it, fake news? Well, I had fake joy, fake peace, till the alcohol or the drug went out of my brain. And I come back into reality, there was no peace, no joy. But I wake up every day now that the Lord wake me up, that he grant me life, and I have peace, I have joy. Don't have a lot of money. But I don't need a lot of money because God wants done. He gave one person 5 talents. I talked about it yesterday. 5 silver coins. And gave another one 2. And gave another one 1. And the one with 5 multiplied. The one with 2 multiplied. The one with 1 high. You understand? You don't need a lot. God going to multiply the little bit that you have. You just got to invest it. If you know 2 scriptures, tell somebody about the 2 scriptures. You know what God has done for you, tell somebody what he's done. You may not know any scripture at all, but you can remember something that God delivered you from. Tell somebody about it. Tell somebody about it. That's all that matters. When I first ministered to somebody in the street, we were doing street ministry in Virginia, and one man was coming on the street, and they told me, Brother Dave, you know, I wouldn't minister or nothing. I was just, with the ministers going up, we had a big old Barney bus, big school bus painted in purple, like Barney. And we went out, and then they said, well, they tell me, Brother Dave ministered to the guy. Well, I didn't know what to tell the guy. I didn't have no whole lot of scriptures inside of me. But I knew that what God had done for me, I know what God had done for me. I was in the Salvation Army. I spent 11 months in the Salvation Army. I couldn't go home because my family didn't want me. And right in there, God find me. He found me in a pew. Sent a minister that who would got off of heroin. He was a heroin addict. He died. He's going to heaven now. Minister Nate Griffith. And he said, can I pray for you, Brother Dave? I said, yes. I thought he going to pray. I really thought he was going to pray, Lord, take away the cravings and need that he has for cocaine. I thought he was going to pray a prayer like that. But he goes into talking about Romans in chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. He's talking about salvation. And he talking about Acts, he talking about John 3:16 and so on. And Mark 16, 15, 16, 17, 18, he talking all these scriptures. Acts 4 and 12, he bring all these salvation scriptures. And he hold my hand and began to pray for me. And I tell you, the scripture just cut me like a knife. I started crying, boo-hooing, starting at my nose and everything. And he said, you want to receive salvation? I didn't even know what salvation was. I knew I wanted to get off of crack cocaine. I knew that because I wanted to be home with my family. You know? And he prayed for me, hold my hand and prayed for me. And the next thing I know, man, I was teaching in the vestry. When he wasn't there, he told me I need you to teach Bible study. You know, he told me that in the morning. I was just going to Bible and going to concordance and parallel scriptures to match up with each other. And then the people would tell him, he said, man, Brother Dave really preached. He really preached really good. He really preached very good. He taught us very well. Well, I said, well, if he's good, this is what I want to do for the Lord. I want to testify and tell people what God has done, what he's doing, and what he can do. And that's what I did. And my life started changing. I started having what the Bible talked about, hungry and thirsty. I started getting a hunger and thirst for more of God, more of God. But we thank God for you all. I am finished. I am true. I've already did a prayer of salvation at the front end. So we're going to open the line for anyone that wants to come on in and testify, glorify God. You know, the line is open.
Praise the Lord. Blessings on you, Apostle Calendar.
Praise
blessings
the Lord.
On your wife and all that concern you of the ministry entrusted in your care. I'm so glad that you still be seated on the throne that's given you out of the fivefold throne ministry, giving honor to dear other apostle that listens often with us, and my son, Minister Jones, great evangelist in the ministry, has such a burden for souls, amen, and he told me he was going to be tuning. I said, well, I'm going to try to get on in today, and he just been praying, and every morning, he's been calling your name out. We've been praying for you, and we'll take a moment and throughout the day since your surgery and talk about you and whisper a prayer for you. We are just so pleased with the Lord and how he's showing us wonders of how he brought you through what the enemy counted as a knockout. Praise God. But we found that the weapon that was forming against you didn't prosper. And you still got that stamina to press your way. I'm so happy for that. And I'll tell you, even though we haven't been on the line, I can speak for myself because I know my son is always looking in to see if you're there. And I've called in a few times and you wasn't there. And when you get that way, I want to say again, if you can't make it, call somebody. Text somebody, you know, and you never know because we've just been very busy and with a lot of things going on and keeping our eyes on world events and, you know, and then seeking things by night to see what the Lord would say of us in the night watch, looking for confirmation everywhere to those who are speaking accurately from the Lord to bear witness of our dreams and visions. I'm sure others out there are in the same state of mind, but we are walking circumspectly as possible, as cautious as possible, and on pins and needles to make sure that we don't be of those that you preach today about the things that's going on in the world with kings and rulers and those who were on the throne of ministry. Some have come down themselves and some the Lord has taken down, you know, after multiple warnings, I'm sure, and they just felt like, you know, sin was just too good and they couldn't stop. And so the Lord the axe at the root of the tree, and they by now has been replaced you know, because God don't let the gap stay open as long as we do go on not letting noonday prayer go on and thrusting in the importance of, hey, this is an urgent hour, this is the last hour, this is the finality of finals on everything, and we need somebody on the clock at every hour. If you can't get to the church, make sure you keep that everlasting covenant at that hour. And so we are so glad that you're still sounding the alarm and standing in defense for the gospel, and that's all you're doing. And I know some preachers take it to offense and they get offended, but you think, why we think that God could correct the congregation, but we not stand correcting? The word is for all. What he say on the one, he say on the all. Watch and pray and seek God's face, live right, and he expect that from the pulpit down, because the people wouldn't have no example, no physical example, except through us who sit upon thrones or rest at the altars, declare what we see by the rims of prayer. And I'm telling you, we got to, and it's an honor that God is still speaking to us, correcting us, reproving us, rebuking us, and to help us to stay seated before him, you know, to keep ourselves worthy of our vocation. And I'm telling you, I'm just so thankful that you are an amazing man. You are to have had your chest cavity open and all the procedures that you say you went through. I'm in awe of that. I stand in awe of that. And I know you're a very strong spirit, man. Your spirit is strong, even though your body is weak and is trying to recover. But God is adding to your strength and blessing your press in spite of, you know, the body still healing. So you're going to feel certain ways and at times. But we know you are in God's hands. And we are standing back trying to send strength to you wherever you may be at that time of possible. We are so appreciative to you. But I've just been staying before the Lord and been listening in as much as I can to other voices that have trumpets in their mouth at this hour. But there, I've been called much to myself in quietness, and trying to cut out a lot of the voices, a lot of the entertainment. And, you know, time to time we lead you to watch movies or listen to a music. But it seems that God is calling me to study the quietness more now than ever. And every now and then I'll post something here or there on Facebook. But I so want to hear God's voice timely, you know, and that I've always be accounted worthy to escape all that's coming to pass. And I don't want to fall. I don't want to stumble. I don't want to stagger at some of the examples that God is allowing to rest before of us who are set in rulership as the kings and rulers and governors and mayors and presidents and queens and all of that. You know, we, and if you preach it so refined, and it just won't be no excuse for preachers. And God is trying to save leadership, and some of them just so arrogant that they can't accept correction. And God is doing this for their sake, so that they may escape and they won't be in that category of people that he says depart from me. And he's trying to help us get rid of all our spots and wrinkles and blemishes as ministers of the gospel, as prophets, prophetess. Just, you know, he's trying to help us through your preaching. And I just don't know what to say to anyone that's standing resistant and think that you should change. But the world is in the mess it's in and going the course that it's going because of bad choices of leaders. And so the Lord is it has anointed you to try to correct things, and they don't know that this is a great help. This is God extending his mercy, and he set these examples before so that we won't make the same mistakes. And I didn't hear the thing about Sarita and what she said, because I've been looking in other areas. I've been looking at the planet's travail and the shaking, and we've been having quite a few earthquake tremors coming down our area. I live in Tennessee, of the New Madrid, or some people call it Madrid fault line. since the bull's eye of the eclipse fell right on top of Memphis and then went on up to Ohio. But we see that God is shaking all of that from Mexico all the way up, and we're on countdown for a greater judgment, a greater devastation. And I just hope world leaders would hear you, and all those who seated it upon the thrones of God will hear what you are saying. A man who is very feeble in his body because he's recovering from surgery, but God is speaking mightily through this man. He is really speaking mightily through you from the times I've heard a little piece last week and then on today, and it hurts me the days that you can't make it. And if you send a notice out there, if it ain't but 30 minutes, we want to drop a word. We want the word to go out in the hours that you're not able to come forth due to appointments. But we want you to know that we love you, and I was so blessed by the word. I jotted down. I said, oh, I can't forget this, especially the one, the last thing in my conclusion, where you say sin has put on her strength. She has put on her strength. That was some of the last, the conclusion of your message. And that is so true. And the only right way and the only reason why is sin is that the degree and the depth is in because men love darkness rather than light. And the only reason why they're there because there's not enough light and fasting and praying and preaching, calling sin as it is, like you were declaring today. It is put on a strip. So when there's no light, no enlightenment through the scriptures, then and people have nothing else to look for than the darkness to gravitate to it, you know. And so that means they need to do what you're doing. And then I looked at the scripture that coincides with that phrase, sin has put on its strength. Praise God. Men love darkness rather than light. And that's the strength of sin, the sin. And where there's no light, darkness will fortify itself. It will get stronger. It will overcome. It will overwhelm and overspread in the land of the righteous and on our territories. And I tell you, it's just been a powerful day, and I appreciate you for the word. And just be encouraged, Apostle. And like I say, though not heard, we are in prayer without ceasing. We are. We're not just talking it, but we're on 5 a.m., noonday, in the midday, in those 4 to 5 watches like the Muslims. They pray 5 times a day, and we're exceeding that. And our whisper, if just a whisper of prayer, may not be in a whole hour on some of those times, but just a whisper of prayer. Staying in communion with God that he can sup with us and we can proceed to continue to move timely and to war, good warfare. Amen. We are just so thankful that we are yet over on the Lord's side and we're not slipping, sliding, peeping and hiding and all of that. I'm still just as celibate can be, still await for me to be chosen. Praise God. But we just thank God. Amen. With what time we have left, that I'm still over on the Lord's side, and I'm feeling mighty happy about it. So we're just asking you to pray our strength in the Lord. And again, whenever you need us, just, you know, we just call away, our text away, and let us know. Amen. God bless you. You stay safe is our prayer.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Prophetess Percy. We greatly appreciate you. We miss you from coming in and giving us some help, but we know you've been busy with your daughter and so on. You know, but we always have a Friday or Saturday open for you anytime that you can. I am going away on the ending of next month, I think on the 25th of May. I would be in Barbados. The Lord say the same. And all goes well, I will be in Barbados for 4 weeks. I have to go and spend some time with my sister, help her out. Better make sure we get some home care for her. She is turning 89 years old, so I have to take care of her, you know, for a little bit. I wanted to spend 6 weeks, but My family don't want me to spend down too long. So, but I'm going to spend 4 weeks with her and set up some things for her while I'm there. God is a good God, you know. He's a real good God. And now I appreciate what God has done for me and what he's doing for me, you know. And I share it everywhere I go because I tell people, and people that have not experienced it would not know what I'm talking about. But I'm living my third life. My third life.
Yeah.
I told him in the church building, I died two times on the table, you know, two times on the table in the hospital. They had to jumpstart my heart two times because God said, not so. God said, not so, you know. And I said, not so. This is my son, you know. You're not taking him, you know. And I'm here proclaiming what the Lord says to do, you know, not to please anybody. If I come on here, there's only one person or no person, I'm still going to preach the mess. I did it in the church here in Boston. We had one Sunday we had nobody showed up. Nobody showed up. Another Sunday we had three people showed up. And I preached like it was a 4,000-member church.
Amen. You know,
preach it, record it, post it on Facebook. People couldn't believe it. And one Sunday I post, they thought it was that I said the church is filled. While I was recording, I said church is filled because I could see the angels all camped in the house. And I was talking with the woman at the well, you know, and how God just, he just come and he spends time waiting on the ones that he wants to serve. God would wait on you. He will wait on me. That's how he is. We don't have patience for our brothers and sisters. You didn't know that? We don't have patience for our brothers and sisters, but we say we love the Lord. And he just told us in 1 John chapter 4, you know, how can we say we love him, we never seen him, but we don't love the ones we see? He just told us that. Jesus sat at the well and waited at the well for an adulterous woman. Waited in the heat. Have you ever been up into Africa? Because you know that is North Africa where he was. That's North Africa.
Yeah.
And if you've ever been to Africa, and you know how hot Africa is, hot, man. I mean, hot. But God is so awesome. You know, I've seen God do something. God has given the people a different type of inside than we have here. The sun is 110, 115, 120 degrees, and they don't sweat. No sweat coming off of them because God make their bodies different to bear that sun. I'm soaking wet. My jacket, my shirt, my tie, everything is dripping water while I'm preaching. But God, he went in that hot sun for that woman to give her living water.
Yes, Lord.
He waited at the well. In that, every time I look at that scripture, I know how hard it is in Africa. And he was sitting there. He didn't have no umbrella or nothing. He was sitting there in the heat sun. Over the wells there, sometimes they have like palm branches over the top of the well, make a little hood to shade a little bit of sun. But you still can feel the heat. And he stayed there to get that woman living water. Sometimes we don't have the patience. I told the pastor, yeah, you know, sometimes we spend too much time looking at the clock on the wall. Too much time looking at the clock on the wall. Because we run the scripture and we take the scripture. God like all things done decent in the order. So we got, this time we're going to be out at 12 o'clock. We can't get out at 12:15 with the Holy Ghost. We want to spend 15 more minutes. Somebody might be coming. But no, we're going to cut the message. We're going to rush the message to end at 12 o'clock on the news because we want to not so much please the people that's there. Because they're looking too. Because Pastor done told them, the Pastor done told them, Bishop done told them, well, we get out at 12 o'clock, 12:15 on Sunday. So they're looking at that time. My pastor just said, look, if you want to go, go. But I'm going to do what God called me to do. He says, I'm not holding you hostage. If you got to go home and put your turkey in the oven, put your chicken in the oven, fry your chicken, go on. He said, but I'm going to do what thus says the Lord. Somebody else maybe need to hear what God is saying. So I'm going to do it. And he did that. And I love that. He never watched the clock. But I see these preachers today. They have a schedule. They come in at a certain time. They want to get rid at a certain time. So they're not giving the Holy Spirit latitude to do what only the Holy Spirit can do. Sometimes the Holy Spirit wants to hit somebody to sing a song, and everything break loose. People change, start to fall off of them. Sometimes somebody got to share a testimony. I shared my testimony last week in the church, because the week before I didn't go, I was sick. I'd eat some food that really mixed. Me and Nancy, we both got food poisoning, something she bought from the store, and it messed us up. But when I went in, I shared my testimony, and the lady had a stroke before. She blows a saxophone. And she looks and says, Apostle, you know, one thing I could tell you, she called me Bishop. She said, Bishop, I tell you this, one thing. May you just encourage me so much all that you have been through. I said, well, because God is keeping me here. It's not the food. It's not nothing else. It's God. You know, what I've been through, a lot of people could not stand. If you don't believe, you got to believe before you go on the table. You can't go on the table and start believing. You got to believe before you go on the table. You got to, they're going to cut open my chest. I got a scar down my chest. And I got a scar down the side of my neck that had 40 stitches on the side of my neck, because they had to open the carotid artery on the left side that was blocked up, pretty much blocked up. And the surgeon says, I don't know how you don't have a stroke. I don't know how you're not blind, because this particular, the two arteries, one on the right goes to the right side of the brain, and the one on the left goes on the left side of the brain. That's where the brain gets its oxygen from. And my left side was almost blocked up. They had to open that in. Like you got an open a fish. Hey, God, I told him before they did anything, I said, I got to pray for all you surgeons. Because the chief surgeon is already here, but I got to pray for you all. They look at me and they say, I point my hand to the heavens. I said, Jesus is my chief surgeon. Yes, you're going to do some work, but he's here. So I got to give him glory. I got to pray for all you all. I pray for them and the nurses. They look at me like I was crazy. You know. They had to take my heart out of my chest, prophetess, take it out and put it on the side of my chest. That they put this flat thing they call a balloon. They put it underneath my heart because my heart was getting weak. You know, because it wasn't getting enough oxygen because the arteries was 90% blocked. So you know God was keeping me. I was walking around with 90% blockage. I was only getting 10% oxygen and blood flowing through my veins, my arteries. And God was keeping me all that time. And God is so awesome. I booked my ticket for Barbados. And we said, well, I'm going down. I'm going to spend some time with my sister again. And I'm going to install a new air conditioner for her house when I get there. And the 31st of December, my chest locked up. Locked up, I'm telling you. And I didn't want to go down there the nighttime at all. It was in the Sunday. Next day, the people preparing for Sunday service. And I had my suit up for Sunday. So I said, well, the Holy Spirit said, you can't go to church. You got to go to the hospital. So I told my wife, I said, honey, you just go on and sleep. God going to keep me through the night. And we going to go to the hospital in the morning. When I go to the hospital and they test my blood, they said, no, your blood, the enzymes in your blood show that you can have a heart attack. We're going to ship you to this other hospital that have all the amenities that you need. Don't tell me God ain't awesome. I ain't had no stroke, no weakness in the eyes or legs or nothing. And they called this special ambulance from a debtor county, came in. All the time I got to wait for this special ambulance, and they drove me to the other hospital about an hour and a half away. And when I got there, they shaved my body, and they say, we got to take you into the emergency room, into the operating room. I'll tell you, bypassed a lot of people that were waiting for surgery that took me right in and did what had to be done. And the heart stopped. They jumped me back. And then I come home. I'm home for about 6 weeks. And then two blockages was beyond my heart that they didn't see. They did the whole manifold. I call it the manifold, the main arteries up top of my heart. But there was two little arteries down bottom that had two blockages. And I was feeling that thing like when they say you get a stroke, your left arm become dead, full of pain. And I had to rush to the hospital. And they took me in instant. So they had to put two stents, one in each artery. And my heart went up again.
Wow.
And they had to jump me back. I prayed for them surgeons too. And they said at the hospital before they did anything. And I told them I wasn't going to die today. But they told me that I went out. I said, well, I told you I wasn't going to die. I didn't say I couldn't go out, but I wasn't going to die. Dying means going to the mortician and from the mortician to the graveyard. I wasn't going to die. Because God told me so. But the heart went out. And they jumped me back. So I praise him wherever I go until I share my testimony. You know, because the Bible says you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You no longer love your life unto death. So that's what I do, you know. I'm not afraid of dying. I'm living to live again. People say, well, why don't you go run? No, I'm not going to run across the street in front of a bus. I'd be foolish. But if he calling me, I'm not going to say, God, I don't know. Well, no, Lord, I'm on the hospital bed. I'm going to die. I'm not afraid of that. I told the Lord, Lord, if you want to take me home, I'm well to come. Because I've lived this life, this part of my life. I live to serve you with everything that's within me. Everything. I'm not perfect, but I know that I'm being perfected in the name of the Lord Jesus. He's perfecting me. Understand? I don't put myself above no one. I stay humble in the sight and the presence of the Most High God. And I ask God, I said, continue to burn inside of me. Burn inside of me. I don't point my finger at any person. I point my finger at me. I said, God, burn inside of me. Anything inside of me that's not like you, just, Lord, consume it with holy fire. Consume it with holy fire. And that's where you are. A lot of people on the line, but the line is open. Prophetess, if you can come in tomorrow, it will be grateful. Then I'll rest. If you're
okay,
not busy.
What time is that tomorrow? What time tomorrow, Pastor? Because I'm in
tomorrow
Central Tennessee.
My time is 12 o'clock, so I think it's 11 o'clock your time, I think.
Okay. All
it's,
right.
It's
I'll do that.
12 o'clock Eastern Tennessee. Standard time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, my time. So I think
okay, 11 o'clock here
eight,
then. 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
I got you.
Okay, appreciate it. The line is open. A lot of people. I see we got Elder.
This is a mean old world to live in.
Yes.
All by yourself. Oh, yeah, this is a mean old world to live in, all by yourself. And oh, this is a mean world in which to be alone without a friend. We can't hardly get along. Oh, this is a mean old world to live in all by yourself. And oh, yeah, when you get in trouble, it's so nice to look around and see a good friend standing there. Oh, yeah. When you get in trouble, it's so nice to look around and see a good friend standing there. And oh, in trouble, it's so nice to have a friend standing there. Your troubles and triumphs, he were bad. And this is a mean old world to live in all by yourself. I give honor to God, which is the head of my life. Like I always said, God have no rivals. He have no contenders. He have no helpers. He's God all alone. And I thank God that I'm above ground and not beneath ground. I just want to say, Apostle Calvin, I had come in and off in the line because I had surgery and I was kind of weak and I wasn't feeling good. Because they got me on something that kind of make me sleep. And when I came on the line, I heard the prophetess talking. And I said, Lord, I missed everything. So when I came on the line, I thank God that everything went right. And I was talking to a friend of mine. He said, well, why you didn't tell somebody you had surgery? You know, well, I really didn't tell nobody. I just told God. And he made a way. I came out all right. And I just want to say, Reverend Calvin and prophetess, you know, I enjoyed what I did hear from the prophetess, and I always enjoy what you say, Prophet Calvin. And I just want to say I pray for you, and I just pray that God bless you and your family and the prophetess family too. And I just want you to prosper and have the desires of your heart. And I just pray that God continue to bless you and strengthen you. And I know you're going through some things sometimes, and I know you don't tell everybody everything, and you shouldn't. But as long as you tell God, everything going to be all right. And I just want to say I thank you, and God bless everyone on the line. I turn it back over to you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Elder. We thank God for you and for your melodious voice singing to the Lord. But, you know, worship belongs to him. It's not for the people. The preached word is for the people. But the worship belongs to God, and we thank. I do appreciate. God have mercy. I will tell you this, that because I want it to be recorded. I really appreciate when you come on here and you sing a couple of songs or whatever the Lord leads you to sing, because it goes straight to heaven. You know, God called us to worship, to praise Him. You know, as a preacher was saying, yeah, there's not gonna be any preaching in heaven. There's only gonna be worship. The same thing the angels are doing day and day and night. They're doing night or day, but they're doing all along. They are praising him. That's what we're going to join into, big, giant choir to praise the Lord. And I thank you when you come on in. And, yeah, the Pastor Stewart told me you had. I said, well, he came on the line. He didn't ever say nothing about he had the surgery for his eyes. I said, wow. You know, but we're praying for you. And yes, you know, I would say the majority of times I don't care what's going on with me, I tell people, because I believe in prayer. I really do. I believe in prayer. I believe that one can put 1,000 to flight and two can put 10,000 to flight. So I know I got people that pray for me in India every single day. Churches, not just one church, churches that pray for me in India every day and in Africa. Got people that pray for me in Ghana, in Kenya, in Nigeria. Oh, they pray for me because I pray for them, you know, and they know I pray for them. We had a pastor there, Pastor Goodish, a couple of years ago. His father had the same quadruple bypass, and he was crying. He called me crying. And he said, Pastor, I know when you pray for my son was on the deathbed. God healed my son. I need to pray for my father. And as I was praying, the Lord gave me a prophetic word for him. You know, that all is well. Not all is going to be well. And he said, tell your brother that all is well. And I said, Pastor Goodis, all is well with your father. I know you're weeping because, you know, anything can happen in the natural. But God said, all is well, so you don't have to worry about it. And his father went through the same bypass that I have. You know, and he's in the church giving God praise. You know, You can't wait till we can't wait till we going through to praise God. We got to praise Him. I thank Him, God, all the time, even for everything, for eating, drinking. Man, I praise God. And when I start my day off, my day start off with repentance. Whatever time I get up out of bed, because I'm retired, I may have made sure I get up in time to turn on Blog Talk. Really, if I don't, the Holy Spirit wakes me up. He said, get up to bed. And I hear Him too. Even times, sometimes I don't want to. I'm telling the truth. Sometimes I don't want to because I'm retired. And I said, man, Lord, I'm tired. I just want to lay in the bed and just rest and recuperate. He said, get up, turn on the computer. And when I turn on the computers, if something happens to me, I'm rejuvenated. All of a sudden, I'm not tired anymore. I have life inside me. And that's what God does. And I just repent to Him every single day and asking God to keep me walking upright before Him. That's all I ask Him. You know, there's people that was calling me on the phone and trying to get into my spirit, you know, in a way that doesn't please God. You know, I'm just telling you, that don't please God. And I had to tell them, don't call my phone. I had to tell the people, don't call my phone. You know, please don't call. I don't want to have to change my phone number because of anybody. I had the same phone number for 10 years. No, at least 20 years I had the same phone number. Don't change it, you know. So I brought it from Washington, D.C. People said, well, you know, here in Boston, the number is usually 781. My number is 571. So I brought the number from Washington, D.C. and never changed the number. I said, but I'm not going to have no woman calling me, harass me because they want to be with me. I'm 74 years old. And my time is for my wife, not for no other woman. So I had to tell them, don't call my phone number with that foolishness. Because the devil is slick, man. I'm telling you, the devil don't use no new tricks. New people don't understand that. If before you received Jesus Christ, you like to go with a lot of different women, you like to check out women, you was a gigolo, guess what the devil bring about? He going to bring about that same thing to you. If you didn't like smoking cocaine or you like shooting heroin, you like corn liquor, guess what the devil bring about? He going to bring some corn liquor. You're going to smell it. You can't even see the bottle, but you're going to smell the corn liquor. He going to bring it back to you. You're going to smell it. You have to shut him down. And that's what he does. This woman went calling me. And I told her, I said, look, don't call my phone number. Don't call it. I block her. You know, she went and got another phone. This is the devil. She went and got another phone. So, and even changed her name. Put a different name on the internet. Want to befriend me on the internet. So I blocked her out. So she came with a different name. So I said, no. I beg you to be the same person. Try this, block him out. Even this morning, sent me a message. I said, let me tell you, I told you before, don't call my number. Don't try to reach out to me because that's not who I am. That's who I used to be. You understand? You got to let the devil know. And you have to tell him, you got to shut up the devil. If you don't shut him up, guess what happened? He'll have you back on that same path that you've been on before.
Amen.
We'll block your healing. We'll block your restoration. We'll block your prosperity. It'll block everything. That's why the Lord told me yesterday, He said, talk about sin. And then I'm laying on the bed, and the Lord said, don't let sin destroy your soul.
Yeah.
That's what He told me. Don't let sin destroy your soul. People, man, I go to churches, and people preach all these happy messages. They don't preach against sin.
Mama.
People are in the church and sinning in the house of the Lord, singing in the choir, playing the organ, playing the keyboard, playing the saxophone, preaching the gospel and sinning.
Yes.
Because they have not been convicted in the spirit. Have not been convicted in the spirit. And they believe that when they die, that's it. The Bible said it's a second resurrection. Second death. And that second resurrection is actually the real judgment day. People are going to be condemned to the lake of fire and brimstone. Virtually death going to take place on that day. See, when you die now, only thing dies is your flesh. Spirit don't die. flesh die. When you come back to judgment, now you come back. Now, if you live a righteous life, you come back now in the spirit before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords to receive your heavenly body. Do you understand? Spirit got to go into a heavenly body. Just like here on earth, it goes into an earthly body made of clay. So when you die, you rise up to be with Jesus, you get a heavenly body, a body that's already prepared for you. But if you live an unrighteous life, you're going to die spiritually. You don't have no body. You're not going to have no body. You're going to die spiritually and be cast into hell. Lake of fire and brimstone. That's what he told me. I said, Lord, I saw that. I said, Lord, thank you. You have to live to go to heaven because you preach well, because you teach well, because you prophesy, because you dance, because you play the keyboards and all this stuff. That don't mean you're going to heaven. The devil sing praise and worship. Do you know that? He sings praise and worship where he is. He not in heaven. He casts out. Don't think because you sing praise and worship and sing and play the keyboard and preach that you're going to heaven. You got to live to go to heaven. We read the scripture this morning. It says, be pure as he is pure. Or be holy as he is holy. That's what the scripture says this morning. Be pure as he is pure. You got to live that life. Got to make up in your mind you're going to live that life. Don't care what your flesh is talking, because all of us, I don't care how long you've been preaching, the flesh still talk. Because Paul said, no good thing. No good thing dwell in my flesh. I tell you the truth.
Amen.
No good
Amen.
Thing dwell in David counting the flesh. No good thing. That's why I got to keep this flesh under subjection. I got to keep it under subjection. The word of God keeps it under subjection. The spirit of God keeps it under subjection. You know, it's hard to live holy, but it's attainable. To live holy, it's attainable with the help of the Holy Ghost. That's why he give you the Holy Ghost, because in this flesh, we can't live holy. Do you know that? It's hard to live holy in this flesh, but the Holy One that lives on the inside of us, that he said, 1 John 4:4, he's the one that helps us. That's why he tell you, you are of God, little children, for you have overcome them. For greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. He told you. You are of God. Once you know that, and you overcome them, because the one that's inside of you, he helps you to overcome. He gives you the victory. Can't get the victory on your own. Your flesh said, man, go on there and smoke a joint. Go drink some liquor. Man, you ain't had a change of change the mood in a long time. I got it. Your flesh talked to you.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I used to get high, I used to say, look, you know what? When my money was gone, property, I said, man, I'm not going to get high anymore. Cause I had no money. But no sooner I get some money in my pocket, I had that money talking to me. I said, man, go on down there to the crack, man, and get you an 8-ball or 16 or something. So I just was saying that on Thursday because I had no money on Thursday. I was broke. But Friday, I got some money. That flesh talked to you, got to tell it to shut up. You want to stop smoking? Say, Lord, I'm not going to smoke anymore. And so you get that craving to smoke a cigarette or a joint or somebody. I said, no, God, I'm not. Thank you, Jesus, for the power right now. Lord, I thank you for taking away that taste out of my mouth. Cigarette, I'm not smoking you. Alcohol, I'm not drinking you. You, one time the Lord told me, see, you have never seen a glass leave the bar and go to a person's mouth on its own. I said, wow, I never thought about that. He said, in order for you to get drunk, you got to take up that glass off the bar. First, you got to put the alcohol in it, and you got to take it up off the bar and put it to your lips. It's not going to get up off that. It's not a magic glass. It's not going to get up off that bar and come to your lips. The cocaine pipe is not going to get up off of the table and come and light itself and get to your mouth. You got to light it. You got to put the coke inside the plate, and you got to light it. You got to put it to your mouth. I said, Lord, he said, all you have to do is don't ever touch that pipe. I said, well, but Lord, I need your strength. He said, I'm going to give you the strength that you need. You don't have to touch that pipe. And then he said, if you touch that pipe, you're never going to get high. You know what I did? My flesh said, you need to get high. I'm telling you something because somebody needs to hear this. I touched the pipe, and I put it in my mouth. But properties, I couldn't get high. And we had the best cocaine from Bolivia. could
oh,
get
wow.
high. Because the Holy Spirit had taken away the... I said, well, no sense of me messing with this stuff. This is wasting money. And I haven't got high since that day.
Praise
I haven't
God.
Smoked a cigarette since that day. God took it all away. And the same thing with women. You say, Lord, I don't want to have a desire for no other woman but my wife. I don't want to have a desire for no man but my husband. And God, you're going to have desire when you see your wife. You're going to have desire when you see your husband. But that other woman, that other man, you're going to have no desire for him because God take it away.
Yes,
he said, you
yes,
have
God.
Not because you ask not. And when you ask amiss. When you ask him for stuff that's going to glorify God, guess what happens? You're going to get it. Because it glorified God. You're not asking for stuff for yourself. I'm asking for stuff because I want to live holy. I want to live righteous before God. I'm not concerned with living to please my wife or my children or so. I want to please God because if you please God, you're going to please everybody else. Do you know that? If
Amen.
You live a life that's pleasing God, you're going to please everybody. There's some naysayers that's not going to be moved by your life because they're living for the devil. But every people that want to live for God and they see how you're living, guess what? They can want to know how you're doing it. They want to know how you're doing it. You trust God. Depend on God. Rely on God. You know. And God will show up in your mix. Don't need a whole lot. I stay here. And look, last night we booked a passage for me for Barbados. I'm going to Barbados by myself. I'm going to be there for 4 weeks. You hear what I'm saying?
That's awesome.
It's not going to be a woman. Not a woman going to come in the house. My sister got a three-bedroom house. Big house. Ain't no woman going to come in that bed. She not going to. If I wanted to bring a woman there, I could. She wasn't going to. She not going to say nothing to me, but she know that I ain't going to bring no woman in the house. I'm not going to go to no woman's house. I was there last June for a couple of weeks. And all I was preaching from there on Glock Talk Radio, you know. I was doing my service from there. Because wherever I go, I did the service from Africa when I was in Africa. Wherever I want to go, I'm living for God. You got to make up in your mind that you're going to live for God. Don't wait till you're in the hospital room and say, Lord, I want to live for you. No, live for him now. So when you go to the hospital room, you don't have to worry. God is in charge.
Yes, sir.
I wasn't afraid. When I go in the hospital, I wasn't afraid because I've been living for him. And he told me in the word, he said, if you love, look, people miss this in the scripture. He said, if you love me and you walk right before me, no good thing. You hear what he says? No good thing would I withhold from you. The first thing we got to do is fall in love with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus was in love with the Father. That's why he didn't ever say, he didn't say nothing to the Father, not my will, but your will be done.
Yes, sir.
We got to get that mindset. When you fall in love with him, you say to God, not my will, but your will. Yes, Lord, I want to smoke some sugars. I want to smoke some marijuana. I want to smoke some cocaine. I want to shoot some methamphetamine. But he said, not my will, but your will, Lord. This is your temple.
Lord.
I know you don't want it in your temple. So I'm not going to put it in your temple. So you begin to get that mindset. Because your body is no longer your body. It is the temple of God. I'm
Amen.
Not shacking up with this woman or that woman. Why? You see these people, men are sleeping with each other. People, and they're preaching the gospel. They're even married to one another and saying it's okay because it's love. They call it love. It's not God love. It's Satan. This deception, not even love. It's a deception from Satan. When two men can get married to each other and sleeping with each other, going into the place where the drought is supposed to be. That drought is supposed to go in the toilet, then you're going into the man rear end, and you're saying it's love. It's not love. That's a deception from the devil. You understand?
Amen.
And two women saying they're getting married and calling themselves first lady and all this kind of stuff, and they're in the house of the Lord. God bringing some serious correction. I'm telling you, before December get here, so many preachers going to die. So I told her, I told you that about 4 years ago, and we lost a lot of preachers. They said, man, preachers, you say that. I said, I'm telling you, so many going to die because they think God, like in the book of Ezekiel, they think God is somewhere sleeping. You know, that's what they said back then in the book of Ezekiel. No, he's somewhere sleeping. God is not listening to us. He can't hear us. He can't see us. So they continue in sin. You see? So these preachers are continuing sin because they put their portfolio on YouTube. We own $65 million, $75 million. And we serving the devil, claiming we serving the Lord. They're drinking human blood. You hear what I'm saying? They're drinking human blood. They're getting high. They're shooting heroin and smoking cocaine and all this stuff, but they perform proclaiming to serve the Lord. You can't do that. You can't drink alcohol and smoke cocaine and praise the Lord, because all those things change your mind. They change your attitude. You understand?
Amen.
The moment that you change, you drink, you smoke some cocaine, your attitude change. Your mindset change. You can't serve God with cocaine and that stuff. You have to have a. He says, be vigilant. Be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion walking about seeking who he may devour. So vigilant means that you got to be aware, you got to be sharp, you got to be observant. And if you smoke some stuff or drink some stuff, you're not in your right mind. Come and tell me, look, go over there and speak with that man. Go over there and speak with that woman. Go over there. All the stuff that you wouldn't normally do, you find. You see, this is why you see these preachers they're snorting cocaine, they're smoking cocaine, and they got these wild parties and all the music going on. They got the smoke in the air, the dry ice and stuff, and the neon lights and stuff. You know, and if the atmosphere has changed, it's changing. We got a satanic outlook on it. So now they believe that God is somewhere he can't hear them. You see what I'm saying? He can't see them. But I got used to it. God sees all, knows all, and can do all. The God that I serve. There's no error about him. There's no mistake in God. This is why we got to repent. And we got to make a decision that we're going to live for him. We're going to die for him. The line is open if anybody wants to share. The line is open. Thank you so much. Line open.
I just want to thank you for the word today, Pastor Callum and Prophet.
You are welcome, sir. You're welcome. The word is the word of God. The prophet, she's going to come on tomorrow, and she's going to bless us with some strong information. Come on in, and then we'll come back on Monday if the Lord say the same, and we are in the land of the living. And we're going to do a part two of don't let sin destroy your soul. We're going to do a part two of that and see where the Lord wants to take us. You know, it's important, man. Prayer. She has a, Providence has a prayer line that comes on at 5 o'clock in the morning every day. You know, it's important that we stay hooked up to Christ Jesus. And last week we talked about staying connected to the vine, and that is the source of every Christian. Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. We have to stay connected to him. Don't matter. If you don't have a job, stay connected. If you have a job, stay connected. If you know, if your wife leaves, your husband leaves, stay connected. You know, if you lose a child, stay connected. Hallelujah. Stay connected. You know, yesterday I was thinking about my daughter, and she crossed over in 2017. And she was so plain because we were looking at some pictures, a video that my wife got, my daughter-in-law sent her, and it had pictures with my daughter. And it's like it was yesterday. And all the feelings come back. But then at the same time, I had a snap out of that. I had to say, Lord, I just thank you because I know she's with you. I started going through all of them feelings like when she leaves here, you know. And sometimes the feelings are good, but they're also bad because it makes you hurt, you know. And I just want to remember her, the good times that we have with her, and let that just rest, you know. But what I'm saying for you all today, trust the Lord in all the changes that happen in your life. All the changes that happen in your life. You know, if anybody had told me that I would have this mark down my neck, 40 stitches, and this mark on my chest, because I got my skin is keloid, call them keloid, and I have, so the flesh usually crew up top. And I got this mark down my chest now. And it's very tender. Even though the bones is feels pretty good, feel like they're already mended, but there's still ligaments inside that are healing. And I feel good. Because God did it all for me. You know, my wife comes, she says,
one thing I got to say, Pastor Stewart, ever since I gave my life to God 100%, the devil has been coming at me tremendously. But one thing that I've been getting out of the whole deal that's been going on around me that I ain't never had at 40 years old, I got peace. No matter what's going on around me, I'm still searching, doing God's word, because I've been walking by faith, you know, not what I see. And ever since I've been doing that, the enemy has been, when I tell you, he's been trying to do everything to come at me. I'm talking about, I don't even want to get into it because I don't want to put all my business out there, but people are so childish. But I let God, I let go, and I let God. And ever since I've been going through, I don't have a whole lot of money. I pay my tithes or whatever, but I remember what the pastor was saying when he straightened me out the last time when we was talking. I really gave everything to God. And what I've been noticing, I've been having peace. I never had that. When it's a storm going on around me, I just gave it to him. I just gave him everything that I've been going through. And I just want to thank Block for, and my pastor down south, you. I thank God for you. I thank God for everybody on here that's trying to, that we're not trying, but doing God's will. And but I just want to say, I just want to thank you. You know, that's all I got to say. You know, I'm grateful, and I'm going to continue to walk with God. I don't care what it costs. You know, I just made up my mind that this is what I'm going to do. I don't care what it costs. It can be my life at this point. I'm still going to serve God. And I just want to thank you.
You're blessed.
Amen.
Amen. You're a blessing. You're a blessing
God,
from God.
To God be the glory. Brother
Amen.
Mark, if you make up in your mind to serve the Lord, that's a good thing. But remember this, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. It's not going to be easy. I have peace that surpasses all understanding, but I still get tested. Every single day, I get tested, I get tried, because if let's say it this way, if we proclaim to be on the rock, your feet going to be tested to see if you're really on the rock. But then when you know that you know that you know that you're on the rock, it doesn't matter how hard the wind blows. It doesn't matter how the water comes down the hill. You're still going to be standing there. But know this. That trial is going to come. People are going to say stuff. Stuff going to happen. But you're not moved. I'm not moved with what people say or what people do. They don't move people. See, because I'm standing on the rock of Jesus Christ. You always hear me say from time to time, you got to stand flat-footed. Because if you're flat-footed, people can't knock you off so easy. If you're on your tippity toes or on your heel, they can knock you off. But when you're flat-footed, and I call it flat-footed in Christ Jesus, man, you got a sure stand. My God, a sure stand. But I'm happy that you find that peace. Because that's just, you know, when Jesus was leaving, that was so important. As you study the scriptures, Jesus never said, well, I'm going to give you a mansion. He never said, I'm going to give you a yacht. Or, you know, they didn't have Cadillacs and limousines and stuff. He didn't tell him, look, I'm going to give you a whole bunch of camels. a whole bunch of stallions, horses. He says, my peace I give to you. That's what he gave to the disciples. He came in and visited them. He said, peace unto you. He gave them peace. And that come from God. Where you get that, ain't no devil can touch you. That don't mean the devil ain't going to come run and roll. Remember, he can only destroy those that allow him. He can only divorce those that allow him. He's going to come by and he's going to roll. And that's just the devil, shut up your mouth. Go and roll somewhere else. Because your rolling don't offend me. It doesn't bother me anymore. I've overcome that. So I'm happy for you, Brother Mark. I really am happy for you. Happy for you. God is a good God. He's a good God.
Yeah,
and
he is.
Trust
he
him, man. Continue.
And I'm going to trust him.
Continue
I'm going
to trust
him. Because I read, I've been writing, I've been doing everything. I've been searching for God. I mean, you know, just letting him deal with me, even in my marriage, even everything going around me. I just putting everything in God's hand. I'm just going to trust him, even though the enemy try to make you think, you know, he in control. I let him know you're not in control. God is in control. You're not in control. You know, you only could do what I allow you to do. You know, so I took authority of my life, and I'm happy. I'm like I'm rolling in my peace, man. I don't care what's going on around me. I don't care what I lose. I told God that this is it for me. I ain't looking back. I ain't looking to the side. I'm looking straight, you know, and I'm going to stay straight. You know, long as I stay prayed up and doing God's word and seeking him, I'm gonna be good, and I really just thank y'all for being in my corner. Cause when you have people cause that was a big thing, which it hurted me that I couldn't be there with you. But you like a father. Y'all was like fathers to me, and you know. But when you was going through what you was going through, I was paying attention. I'm a person that I really don't like talking a lot, but I just observe, and I watch, and I just learn, you know. So when you was doing that, and Pastor was telling me, you know, to don't be giving the enemy, you know, because you giving them ground to fight you. So I just started just, you know, I'm just, like I said, when you a babe or what, he try to come at you. He come at you with lies, people doing all kind of stuff, just childish stuff, just trying to just, and I could tell that I'm on the right track because, man, if only, I ain't even going to get into that, but I would just say this. I thank y'all, and I'm going to just keep on doing what I do, I just thank you. You know, that's all I'm gonna say. In Jesus' name, you have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Mark. Thank God. Well, we thank the Lord for you all. We bless the Lord for you all. If anyone has have a word to share, you can go ahead and share. If not, we're going to ask the minister to close us out. Pray and close us out.
Healing continue. The healing of God continue. And God get all the glory for healing and blessing and ministering to you and to me. I thank God for you, and you're really helping people. And when people are looking for a glimmer of hope, just a tiny bit, a crack of hope to shine in the darkness, your light comes through. Just a little bit of light, just a little bit of joy and testimony and testifying about God and what what he means to you. People are finding hope in a hopeless world, and they look to you for strength. People look to you for encouragement, and you keep preaching flat-footed, let the devil be a liar, and let people be encouraged by your testimony, because we're all needed in the body of Christ. Everybody plays a part, and every one of us is needed to do the will of God. So I thank God for you. You're a hope preacher. Keep preaching the hope of God. Keep preaching the gospel. Amen.
Okay, Minister, if you're going to sing a song, you can go ahead and pray and close us out. Thank you.
Everlasting King, the God of all, a mighty warrior, we thank you for this day, Father. We thank you for letting us come together on one of a accord in your name, Father. We thank you that we know you are Lord. We thank you, Lord, that just the mention of your name, every knee shall bow, and every tongue will confess that you are Lord. You are Lord forevermore. And we thank you, Lord, that everyone have been blessed by the word of God. Receive the word. Soak the word in, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you. Amen.
Amen. I need you all to come on tomorrow afternoon if you can. And hear this word from this woman of God. Come on tomorrow. Okay, tell somebody. God bless you all. I love you. But remember that God loves you more. God bless. Have a blessed, peaceful evening. Bye-bye.
You too, Apostle. Blessings on you.